So let me just start by saying that I tried to assist Donna in identifying people for this panel, because if it was just me up here talking about what I knew, we wouldn't be here very long. So I reached out to people that in the last year or two I've been really impressed with the activities in their countries and Ramesh's engagement at WHO related to mobile health. So what I'm going to attempt to do is set the stage for the discussion. Then we're going to get into some specific examples of activities and try to lay a foundation for a discussion within the room, because I think that's going to be the highest yield here. So first of all, I always use silly analogies, but imagining you're coming off that overnight flight and they've just turned on the lights and about to serve breakfast. That's where we are, okay? We're still up at 40,000 feet. I'm just going to give you a little idea of what I think we can talk about, and these guys are really going to bring us down to real examples on the ground that we can use for consideration. So the objectives of this presentation is to consider the different perspectives around M Health. I do think they're quite different and evolving. Describe the landscape. I would say the greatest change to the landscape currently is the lack of stability of future funding for a lot of health initiatives, and I think that's going to affect how we make decisions around mobile technology. And then to promote discussion by sharing experiences, but also highlighting opportunities that's presented by the current landscape, and figure out what the smart investments are going to be in using mobile technology. Here's a few assumptions, some based on experience, some may just be straight out dogma, but I'm going to take a shot at it and put it out there for discussion. But first of all, I think we work on the assumption that technology, infrastructure, and capacity is going to continue to grow globally, but not necessarily at the same pace within public health systems. Secondly, health burdens and public health challenges or priorities will continue to change over time, not necessarily in line with changes in technologies. Future of fiscal resources are uncertain. As Dr. Foldy said this morning, I think it's in the tea leaves or the writings on the wall that we're going to have to be more accountable for. And that's the next point. So increasing the importance of return on your investments or accountability for money that you've been given for programs. The mobility of technology will continue to increase and proliferate. I imagine that one day we're not going to say mobile phones. I mean, if you think about it, the reason we say that is because we had all these fixed landline phones, which are diminishing. It will just be your phone, and you happen to be able to carry it around. The role of mobile technology will continue to evolve in public health, and we're going to discuss how that might change. So just some observations. So in Uganda, you know, back in 2000, 2001, we were actually using PDAs to do blood collection through the Nakasero Blood Bank, and it was real powerful to take some information out on the field, do registration. Then it created a lot of excitement. We actually got more blood donations because people wanted to come see the PDAs. But the process became much slower than the paper because we actually didn't have a great interface and so forth. So I can bring the war stories to the presentation. But since then, we've expanded from this focus on surveys or simple field-based interventions to much more complicated applications of mobile technology, from attaching GPS units to phones, or even some laboratory diagnostic equipment that's being built into mobile phones. So I think, you know, in the past 10 years, we've seen a huge expansion in the actual technology that's available. Also, we've seen the expansion or proliferation of mobile phones within communities in global health or in international health settings. And we've felt driven to capitalize on that. If everybody has a cell phone, everybody's heard the comparison, there's more people with cell phones than televisions or so forth, whatever statistic you choose. But that has driven us to some degree to figure out, well, what's the utility of that? What's the opportunity that presents? And quickly looking at that in SMS technologies, we say, well, but that's so limited. and we want to immediately go to smartphone technology, which suddenly takes you into a different range of capacities, but also huge costs, steeper learning curves and some issues there. And I'm going to argue that let's not throw out the advantages that are offered by SMS technologies as well. There's also increased interest in local ownership and building capacity. Now, in 2000, when I moved out to Uganda, I confess, I really thought, well, I'm going to go see what the problem is, sort of sketch out the requirements, send it back, we're going to fix it, and then come back and install it. That was the way a lot of fly-in technical assistance occurred at that time, and that is shifting. And why is it shifting? Because in general, across private sector, across business sector, individuals are coming up with local solutions within their own communities using technology. And in public health, we're not necessarily as quick to capitalize on that. And so we're going to challenge you to think about ways of promoting a local environment for that. And then finally, I would say the one thing I've seen great ideas just fail and not quite figure out why. And usually it's based on practicality and ownership and really whether or not the people who were trying to implement it were the ones that really wanted it to be successful. So how hard were they going to push it? And were you really just trying to use technology, or you had a real problem you were trying to solve? So let me just give you some examples of the different technologies and some ways in which they've been implemented to just sort of cover the scope here. So in SMS, I was one of the first people to say, well, but SMS is so limited. So I'm an old data guy, and the inability to actually have script behind the SMS as it's being entered to actually do logic checking and comparing entries based or conditional logic checks, comparing data on other entries. I know there's ways to do that now, but the limitations of what you could do with SMS, I always thought made it a not so useful technology. But recently, in evaluating a program that uses SMS in Cape Town, where it's for the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV, which has a whole cascade of services from getting HIV tested somewhere or coming into prenatal care or actual delivery or follow-up with a child if the mother turns out to be HIV positive, the antiretroviral intervention that's applied at delivery, and then all the lab services around that. So all the different stakeholders in that cascade is very hard to organize. So they were going to use SMS, and I thought, well, how far can that take you? And what I thought was really interesting wasn't so much the information that they were putting into the phone as it was the information that was captured every time a message was sent that basically said, I did my job in the cascade. And all that process information is actually kept at the phone servers, and you're actually able to go in and do a bit of a evaluation of how well the cascade was actually followed around that particular service. That was an unintended benefit or an unplanned benefit that I think is an example of things we should try to figure out how to capitalize on, because it added no cost to the overall project. So PDAs, simple R smartphones, there's lots of evolving opportunities there. I was impressed at the mHealth conference last year with the number of presentations where people use social networking sites around the catastrophes in Haiti, where they're actually helping to locate people and communicate. And I think that's also an opportunity that we should consider how to leverage that. I don't have anything next to tablets. I like tablets. I think they're pretty cool, but I personally haven't yet figured out what the inherent value is that they bring, other than increased screen real estate and things that developers would enjoy. But that's interesting to think about as well. I'm sure there's some ideas here that will come up. But what I think is really cool is when the technologies get integrated. So as I said before, when you add a device onto your phone that actually does global positioning, where you can actually record the time and exact location that events occurred, I think there's huge value to that. I just think it's really cool the way that the I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the technology that's evolving where they're using digital imaging, using a phone that's actually going to be able to do malaria microscopy from a phone in the field. I mean, the impact of something like that would be phenomenal. Now, that's an example of R&D type stuff where the technology is sexy and it may be expensive, but the impact is obvious. Where just taking a smartphone and insisting everybody have one and use one doesn't necessarily have a defined impact. So what are the opportunities? And I realize a lot of this is reiterating, but surveys and census and even some geospatial stuff, we've kind of known that's there. But the thing I've noticed is the more water under the bridge where all these devices are out there capturing this information, the more longitudinal data that's piling up somewhere. Now, whether or not it's actually being organized or deleted is unclear, but there is a real opportunity to have more sentinels that's either at low cost collecting volumes of information on over time that could be mined, or actually putting sentinels out for more timely reporting, like you see the phone-based reporting of notifiable diseases. There's a picture we probably will see on International Night of Secretary Sebelius from Health and Human Services out in Zanzibar, where she's actually sending a malaria case report over a phone. She's actually the one sending the message. So that's some good PR there. Let's see. Oh, the increase the quality, timeliness, and breadth of information. Everything I hear about the money decreasing, it basically is going to imply that every information systems activity has got to have an evaluation component. It can't be so expensive that you can't get it off the ground, but you've got to somehow be able to demonstrate that what you're doing is worthwhile and cost effective. And if the project that you're actually implementing for is also an evaluation project of a particular service or intervention, then that's also going to bring a lot of interest. And focus on increased capacity and local ownership, because that's what's going to make this stick when we look back 10 years from now and sort of laugh at the way those old smartphones looked. You know, we're actually going to say, yeah, but the folks who were engaged are still engaged. We changed the technology. Okay, so considerations for discussion. Last slide. So what investments are sound? How do you actually decide what's going to get funded? What would you put your money into? What's the appropriate balance between research and development and established technologies? There's a whole lot of technology that's available now that we're just actually not utilizing very well, that we could do relatively inexpensively. A lot of R&D that we could capitalize on. How do we create the environments for local solutions? And what's your role now and how should it change? I include this picture because this was back in 2000. We put in VSAT satellite dishes for internet connectivity in Entebbe. This was part of the National Library of Medicine bringing in bandwidth in the MEMCOM network, the Multilateral Initiative on Malaria. At that time, it was appropriate. But since undersea cable has come into Mombasa and connectivity is being provided by telecoms, we need to be out of that business, right? Because truth is, we're actually interfering. Every time we download bandwidth from another site, that credit for that bandwidth actually even goes to another country. So that there's times to be in it and know when to get out. And so I'll leave it at that.